Every few years, the U.S. Congress jumps into the political tar pit that's known as energy policy. To win votes, an energy bill must cater to the interests of oil and gas-producing states, as well as consumers and conservation interests. As a result, most energy bills are a grab bag of favors to myriad special interests. The big energy bill, now in the final stages of negotiation in Washington, is typically ornate with tax breaks and subsidies. This year, though, the legislation could make some marked changes in the status quo. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
It's now the 2003 energy bill because previous versions died the death of 1,000 cuts. Too many people wanted too many things either in or out of the bill. Among the biggest hot-button issues has been the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska and whether to drill for oil and gas there. It's in this year, for now. So is a new regulatory regime for the electric power grid, courtesy of the Great American Canadian Blackout of August 14th. But less notorious parts of this year's bill are getting people worked up, too. One involves the country's outer continental shelf. That's what you might call the continent's underwater petticoat that extends several miles out from the coastlines. For more than 20 years, oil and gas companies have been barred from even exploring the OCS. The energy bill says it's time to take a better look.
The energy bill and its OCS provisions represent the first kind of comprehensive assault on the moratoria that protect the outer continental shelf.
Lisa Speer is with the environmental group Natural Resources Defense Council. The bill calls for seismic surveys of the outer continental shelf to see how much oil and gas is there. Speer says the bill would begin the end of the moratorium, which put the value of fisheries, beaches, and the environment first.
The inventory provisions combined with the language that requires a study of impediments to oil development offshore really signals, I think, the intent of the industry and their friends on Capitol Hill to push forward for developing these areas.
Energy industry lobbyists don't deny that. Several of them met recently in Washington to support the energy bill. Roger Cooper is with the American Gas Association.
A policy that says we will not examine or know what is available in this country and therefore limit our choices seems to be pure folly.
Industry executives see coastal reserves as a huge untapped resource, especially for ever more popular natural gas. It's homegrown, and they claim it can be tapped without making a big mess. Genevieve Murphy is with the American Petroleum Institute.
What you learn from the oil situation is that you want to have diversity. You don't want to be dependent on any one area or any one supplier. And from the standpoint of natural gas, you want to be able to develop your resources, whether they're onshore or offshore.
The oil industry already has access to most of the potential oil and gas offshore, and in fact has tracts that they haven't bothered to develop.
Richard Charter is a marine conservationist with the group Environmental Defense in California. He urges energy companies to stay in areas already open for drilling and not covered by the moratorium, the western Gulf of Mexico and parts of Alaska. Estimates are that most of the undeveloped oil and gas is there, not along the coasts of California or Florida or New England. Those coastlines are under pressure from other quarters as well. Energy companies want to put big terminals along coasts to take delivery of imported liquefied natural gas. The energy bill contains language that could pave the way for building those terminals for ocean-going tankers and pipelines. That will spark yet more debate over energy versus the environment. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.